Welcome to the Ecom 80/20 podcast, the show for brands looking to compete and win at selling online by building better customer relationships. Hosted by Isaac Hyman and Yaakov Rosenberg, co-founders of Highflyer Digital and marketing experts for 7-, 8-, and 9-figure brands, we'll reveal, discuss, and demystify the secret strategies that the top 1% use to acquire, convert, and retain customers better. Our mission is to help level the playing field and help you build more profitable, predictable, and scalable revenue streams for your business. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the Ecom 80/20 podcast. We're excited to be here helping e-commerce companies make the most of their marketing by helping them work smart and not hard. Today, we're going to be talking about the magic of automations. What is an email automation? What is a workflow? We'll go into all of that today. And we're excited to be talking to helping you work smart, not hard. So, Isaac, how are you doing this morning?
Good. Everything is going really well. Started the year off really strong. I think it's going to be a good 2022.
Yeah, we're excited. It's already on a high note. We're already seeing the fruits of our labor from 2021 really starting to come through in 2022. But that really talks to our topic today, because things you do in the past can help you in the future. And what does that mean when it comes to the topic of email automations? Can you define what an email automation is, or a workflow, however you want to call it? Help our listeners understand what we're talking about here.
Sure. Well, an email automation generally is pretty much a way to kind of make your life a lot simpler, a lot easier, help you achieve your goals faster, and kind of connect with your target audience on their schedule. You know, part of our spam strategy, SPAM, it's basically drills down to right person, right message, right time, and repeat. Yeah. And I think the key part of automation is the right time, you know, because there are many times that, you know, with technology out there and with so many things happening, I think on average it's about 9 touch points to connect with a person, connect with a customer. It really, the timing is so important. I think you and I both know that even in our business, follow-up is so important. It's so key to like success, right? And like, you know, and there are times we talk to different brands and different, you know, vendors, and the follow-up is where the real magic happens. So that's where automation is really helpful. Just it follows up with the customer, with the prospect, with the lead at the right time. And that's really what, you know, working smart, not hard is. That's 80% of your time shouldn't be spent on the hard to reach people. It should be spent more on the best prospects. So I think that's what, if I was to summarize it, awesome, you know, at a layman terms.
So what does it mean? Let's talk about the right time, right? Because, you know, when we, sure, talk about sending out emails, sometimes you're building out your campaign calendar and you're like, okay, fine, this email is going to go this day and this one's going to go on the next day. But oftentimes we decide based off the data when the most optimal time is to send an email, based off of when people are going to be opening them or when they're checking their inbox. But what does automations allow? How does that change when it comes to automations versus campaigns? And how do we allow the automations take effect at the right time? Because it's really about the customer here. It's what's the right time for them, right? Not necessarily what the right time is for you when you want to send out the campaign, or even when the data really tells you, but here it's, right, it's when's the right time for the customer.
Right.
So go into that a little bit.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, campaigns and automations are synergistic. They're going to have to connect to each other. They're going to have to kind of work well together. An example of that is, let's say we send a campaign to a customer about, I don't know, anything, you know, New Year sale or President's Day sale. But this person takes an action on that campaign and automatically their follow-up series hits in, the browse, right, abandon, the cart abandon, all those are automations that hit in after the person has shown an interest. If you compare it to someone walking in your store, which I like to do, I think that's so important, as we all forget that brick and mortar is, e-commerce is just a derivative of brick and mortar kind of shopping, like we all, yeah, used to do. Remember that? You go to a store.
What's that like? Yeah. Who goes out anymore?
Right? Now it's only to pick up your order that you ordered online.
Yeah, curbside pickup, exactly.
Yeah. So now it's if someone walks in your store, you naturally will come over and say, hey, can I help you find something? Or do you need a cart? Or do you need a basket? Or, right? Or I see you need help on that item here. So it's just naturally a follow-up. And the right time, it isn't just simply saying the right time of day or the right, you know, it's not just a geography or postal code or anything of that sort. That's helpful, but it's also about finding them at the right time in their buying cycle. If they're literally at the checkout line virtually, right? If they're at checkout, you want to follow up a little more aggressively than if they were just kind of stepping into your store and like, you know, don't know where to go yet.
Right. Because people can get distracted. Right. Exactly.
People get distracted and they're on with the day. I don't know the store that does this. Maybe you had experience. Maybe you know the brand. But there are times, it may have been IKEA, which is ranked like really high on personalization. I went to a store and, you know, as a guy, I'm grabbing things in my hand and I'm like holding it in my hand. I'm like, I can still hold more. You know, you go to a grocery store, you're like, oh, I'm just going to run it for a few items. And then you realize you can only hold so many items. You don't have a cart. You're like, yeah, you're grabbing it. And you're like, stack another one on top.
Yeah.
You know, I got it. And you realize you're kind of overwhelmed pretty quickly. So one store, again, let's assume it's IKEA. IKEA comes over and says, they know my hands are full and they know they want to get me to checkout, right? So they come over, offer me a bag. Hey, would you like a bag to carry in this items? And that just little touch made you say like, wow. So not only are they giving me a bag because my hands are full, which is nice, but they also are kind of encouraging me to start the checkout process. Now I have a bag, I'm ready to go. Why not? I will check out, right? And then I can carry even more. So I think it's these kind of little touches that is that right time, and that not everyone understands in the automation world is that it's about reaching them at the right time in their day and the right time in their purchasing cycle. What do you think? Have you had that experience?
Yeah, of course.
The right time.
Yeah, it's so there's certain types of automations that we'll go into a little bit more about the different types, but you know, the one where you're about to leave a product or you just left your shopping cart, or you know, an hour later you're like, oh, you know what, I was interested in that, when it comes up in your email and you're like, okay, fine, you know what, I'll go back and I'll finish that shopping purchase. I didn't have a chance to do it before, I got distracted, or there's something else that was changed my mind maybe, but there are ways to bring people back. And that also talks about the relevance, right? We talked about the right time, but you know, we're not always sending every email campaign to the right people, because there are different people who have different information and different buying patterns. So what does an automation allow the business to do in terms of relevance to the right person?
Well, very simply, yeah, I think like you say, it's all about working smart, not hard. I think when you have an automation running, you're able to kind of, the business owner has a lot of different opportunities. They can use that automation to obviously monetize that customer, monetize the prospect. You can use, I think it was 96% of people that visit the website don't actually convert. And that's very true. We see that in the conversion, right? Conversion rate for e-commerce stores is only about 4%, 2 to 4%, 4% if you're lucky in some cases. So a customer is not even ready to convert. So when you, an automation allows you to tell your story, it allows you to kind of build that brand loyalty, demystify the shopping process. It allows you to share a lot more than you would potentially share in person as well. Obviously in person, you have that kind of a lot more sensual interaction, right? You see the person, you hear their voice, you see their tone. So you can get a little bit more, obviously it's not going to replace the human interaction, but it allows you to scale it. Allows you to scale an interaction up to millions and millions of people, right?
Right. More people that's that come, definitely more, helpful. More that are going to go in there.
Yeah. And then also an automation, from my experience, also allows you to get a lot more data than you would normally get. You can get information on what they're actually intending to buy, what they're looking at, what they're clicking. You and I both know when you gain an email address or a phone number, you unlock hundreds of data points that may be kind of unknown to the brand before that. So there's a lot more data that comes in, where they are, where they're located, IP address, all these type of things, what browser they're on, what device they're on. That all helps with marketing. So yeah,
of course, the more information you have, the better, yeah. Right? Every decision that we try to make as a business has to be data driven. And that just allows us as an agency to help our clients work smarter. So
yeah, and that helps also the, that also helps the customer service, sales team. If you have a sales team, kind of get more information. And when they actually do reach out, if they need to reach out, they'll be a lot more, significantly more informed interaction.
Right. Absolutely. So let's talk about what you would do when you first get into an email program for a new client, right? We just signed the deal, or a new client comes to us and says, I need to work on my email marketing. So we talk about the campaign calendar, we talk about the getting the email list, but then we go into actually putting things into motion, and we talk about setting up those top three, right? Or top automations. What are the first three automations that you set up for a new account, for any new business? And why are those the most critical?
So the top three, that's a great question. Again, the top three kind of maybe will differ a little bit for the brand, depending on where they are right now, when they come on or when they decide to invest in email marketing and SMS. So the top three are usually, welcome, email, cart abandon, and browse abandon. So for those that don't know, welcome is just that kind of, you know, onboarding kind of, you joined our list, let me walk you through the store virtually, let me walk you through the brand, let me build up that connection type of email, which you can see already just when the way I said that seems very important, right? So right. A lot of people are new coming to the store, right? You want to get that walkthrough.
Yeah, you got to capture and captivate within that first interaction with a new visitor to your website.
Imbue them in who you are and who, you know, I'll tell you a funny story after this. Maybe I said it on the last podcast, but either way, the cart abandon is,
we assume that everyone who's listened to this one is also listened to our other.
Yes. Yeah, so you're going to hear the story again, Ben.
It's okay.
cart abandon is the second, and they're in no particular order, but they're the top three. Cart abandon is they abandon their cart. You obviously want to, send a follow-up to them, reminding them. There are people that abandon their cart for numerous reasons. I think the most popular reason is surprise cost at checkout. But nowadays also people are busy, you know? So having that reminder and solving why they abandoned that cart in the first place is why cart abandon is so important. And they're so close to checkout, right? They're not going to leave the line. Imagine if you're in a store, imagine the pressure of leaving the line. Like, oh no, I got to leave the line now.
And then you got to go all the way to the back. You forgot something. You asked the guy behind you to save your spot. So here, literally saving your spot in the checkout process. So
right. So it becomes a lot more. So we kind of put that pressure. But again, e-commerce, you won't have that pressure as much. But it's a very high-performing automation. And then browse abandon is, if they're looking at an item, they are in the process of adding to cart. They're in the process of going towards that checkout, you know. Right. So I think that's...
We call that search mode, right?
Search mode, yeah, and they're literally almost in buying mode too. They're about to whip out their credit card and start, you know, taking the purchase. They're showing a high intent, maybe not as high as cart, but a high intent. And the funny story was, that's not a funny story, but the interesting story was, I read in the book, The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes, and he learned there's a lot of information there about sales. And one thing he said is that brands for the welcome series. Or really not the welcome series, just selling in general. He went into a couch store and he compared the two. He used to sell couches and he compared two type of salespeople. One of them sold, you walked in and you want to buy a couch and you said, okay, let me come in. And the salesperson talks all about the couch. We make the best couch. This couch is fantastic. Great colors, great quality. This couch is amazing. Highly recommend you buy it. Low stock, everything sales oriented. And of course, the, you know, as a customer, you're like, okay, that's good. Nice to know about the couch. But the couch is commoditized. You can buy the couch, you can buy a couch anywhere, let's face it. So what the other salesperson did in the other store was the minute a customer walked in the store, they started talking about the store. They started talking about, our brand has been in business for 40 years. You got to talk to the owner. He knows everything there is to know about the industry. We've been on the same block for Now, 40 years, we know the entire community. We are involved with in every single, you know, hobby and interaction in our community. We support the community. We're experts in a furniture overall. And just like you can see that they're imbuing that brand and story into that customer to say like, wow, if I, in case they ever need furniture or couches, I'll okay. come to the store first. So that's kind of that welcome series. And just, you see the difference.
Like, yeah.
It's talk more, about your products all the time.
Makes it more personal. Your brand. Right? We talk about personality and personality in emails and talking to people on the other side about them, you know, personalizing these emails. So a welcome series is what makes the brand humanizing, right? It humanizes that brand so that people who come and are visiting your site, right? They sign up for that welcome series emails and now they know more about you and they feel more comfortable buying your products because they know more about you. And it's not just that, like you said, it's not commoditized. It's not the same type of product that you can get in 20 different places or even on, you know, the big A, the big Amazon, where you can get all those products. But why would they want to buy directly from you? Because it makes it personal. So that welcome series allows the personality to really come through.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you, when you're setting up these automations, what is the goal? What is the ultimate goal of setting up an automation for a brand and for a company? If it were me and I had to just pick one, I think the answer would be make money while you sleep, right? You're not doing anything actively.
Sure.
So that's a smart way to run an e-commerce business is allowing the money to flow. Money to come in whenever you're, you know, whenever the visitor is taking, whenever the person who's getting those emails or visiting your site is ready to make that purchase. So what would you say would be the number one goal when setting up automations?
Number one, well, I think with most brands, the number one goal will always be to kind of make money. I think that's always going to be something that people want, but there's also kind of like an immediate make money. And then there's a kind of a long-term make money, right? So you want to build better customer relationships. That's probably the ultimate goal. And that's really where I think that you can do you can eventually get the most money from, right? The more timely, the more efficient, the more, helpful you are in your automation, the more money you will make in the long run. But some brands are just very like, you know, oh, I want to make money fast. I see this person on card. I want to drive revenue, get the sale. And that's totally fine. You know, that is important too. But I think another goal that brands should definitely focus on is how can they allow them to save time and save money on their marketing efforts, on their sales efforts, right? You have to kind of like, automation works 24/7. So it allows you to kind of be, it allows you to get a lot more done without having to constantly roll up your sleeves and focus on campaign planning or how I'm going to make my numbers this month or what kind of new kind of creatives do I have to put together to get the sale. And automation just runs and it's built all around the person, the customer. So I think that's really helpful. It saves you time and money on constantly creating plans. So I think that's really the main goals for that. The other goal, if you want me to go through a few other goals, I definitely can do it. The other goal for automation, that no one really talks about and no one really thinks through too much is testing, the learning and testing consistently. I'll give an example, right? We work, you know, there was one client, I think we did, maybe 2 weeks ago, they got this head of steam to start doing some subject line testing. And that's great. So where are you testing your subject lines? Well, we could do it on this campaign and it's like an end of the year campaign. And then let's take the learnings from that and start broadening it out to other campaigns. Sure. Well, not really, because you can't really do that. You can, because a campaign at the end of the year won't necessarily help with the learnings for a campaign in mid-March, right?
It's just different schedule.
Yeah, you can't really learn too much. With an automation, you can literally test and know it's running consistently, the same audience, same prospects, same segment, same type of buyer. And we get to let it run for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, get the learnings and use that more qualitatively than just kind of doing a one-off test here and trying to get your learnings and extrapolate some high overarching data point from that. So you just want to kind of, I don't know if that was a very confusing line I just said, but just kind of like use automations to be more consistent in your testing and use the data to improve it because it's constantly running and those learnings will help your business overall.
Awesome. So what would you say in your experience and years of doing this, what's been your most lucrative automation that you set up for clients? And the one that's made you the most money, and you know it's consistent, you don't even have to think about it. It's literally set it and forget it, and you know it's going to bring in the money.
Oh, so there's tons. There's tons. I'll zero in on one, like you asked. But I also want to, before I mention that, it's frankly the sheer level of automation, right? There are brands that kind of focus on, let's turn on 5, or let's turn on whatever our ESP, like Klaviyo or Sailthru or Bluecore recommend to just turn on, right? What are they going to say? They're going to say, let's turn on the top 5, top 6. Everything you have can be automated. Pretty much everything you have. You should have the goal to be 50 automations by the end of the year, for example, right?
Wow, that's a nice goal.
Because everything can be automated down wherever you are, it can be automated. And if you have all these automations running and everything's running in sync, then you will have a lot more time and your revenue will just kind of pile on and pile on without you having to do anything.
Right, as long as you're getting people to the site, all these automations are going to keep running.
Exactly. And I think it's just just keep adding them, keep adding more and more automations, as long as it's not code overlap, but like map out your journey, map out what you want the customer to achieve. And the automation list is endless. Like I said, a lot of people tend to stop at like 10 to 12. Oh, there's so many running, no, you can run. I've seen brands that have run probably 100 to 200 automations, and that's their whole strategy.
And it's not like somebody's going to, you might be concerned as a brand owner that, I have too many things going on. I can't even keep track of it. And somebody might even be in multiple different places on the website. So they might be in multiple different automations. So talk about that. There's a way to prevent people from being in 5 different automations, something called smart sending.
Oh yeah.
So you don't have to worry about people being in a million different automations just because you have them all running. You can have a cart abandoned. You can have a browse abandoned. You can have a browse product abandoned. You can browse category brand abandoned. There are lots of different ways to segment your list, segment your visitors, and make sure that they're getting the right message that's going to be most relevant to them at that moment so that you can help complete the sale for them as quickly as possible. Now drill into that one automation.
Yes. Yeah. That one automation that I think that I've had major success with. And to be honest, I haven't seen it anywhere except for maybe one of my favorite brands, happens to be Wayfair. I can look at their emails and just see, that's an automation. I'm in an automation there. And it's just so personalized. And I think it's, I call it category browse, where we tend to think, right, the person adds to cart, great, they're in cart abandoned. Person browses an item, great, they're in browse abandoned. Okay, makes sense. But what most brands tend to do is they let the browse abandoned or cart abandoned run one time, two times, maybe three times. And then they kind of throw them back into this campaign batch and blast type of approach where it's like, okay, you're looking at an item, you didn't buy it. All right, we'll still sale, content, newsletter, content, everything. So they kind of throw them all the way back into that, bottom of the funnel approach. But what I've seen success is just kind of back them out still, right? They weren't interested in that product, but maybe they're still interested in that category. So if I was looking for, a James Harden jersey, let's throw sports in here, James Harden jersey on the Brooklyn Nets.
The Nets fan comes out.
I like James Harden, but maybe I'm an original New Jersey Nets. I want a Derek Coleman jersey. So there, if I go. Want a Derek Coleman jersey,
Drazen Petrovic.
That's the best, exactly it. So I may not buy that Derek Coleman jersey, but I back you out. I'm still interested in Brooklyn Nets apparel. I'm still interested in a jersey.
Yeah.
Right. So then we start marketing about Brooklyn Nets jerseys, except it'd be New Jersey Nets. But then if they're not interested in jerseys, then you back them out a little bit more. Are you still interested in apparel?
Right.
Right. How about jerseys from all of NBA? Right. So you see what I mean? You back them out slowly, and then you don't need to throw them back into your batch and blast approach. You just campaigns, campaigns, campaigns. And that does extremely well because you can have so many different permutations of it. Jerseys that are under 500, jerseys that are under, that are bestsellers, jerseys that are new arrivals, jerseys that, you know, that it's five-star reviews. So many different ways to do it. And each one is a campaign and it's so much more personalized than just sending them in back into your batch and blast approach. So that's probably one of my favorites.
Nice. So that goes a little bit to what you were saying in terms of campaigns. So where do automations differentiate from an actual email campaign? Email campaign, in my view, is, you know, you build out your monthly calendar, you have, you know, this one going, this one, this is bestsellers, and this one is a new arrivals, and this one is featured item, featured category. So these are all built out in your calendar. So how do they differentiate in terms of somebody who's already in an automation, somebody who's visited your site, they're now in some sort of an automation workflow? Are they still getting your email campaigns? Are they not? What is that a preference that the brand is going to have? Or is it something that we recommend to say, you know what, they're in automation, let them stay and not get the campaigns?
Yeah, I would recommend don't even send them the campaigns. They shouldn't even be getting the day-to-day campaigns. Why distract them?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Let's say you're in the store. I love queuing into a store. It's so easy to understand and everyone just does
e-commerce,
it.
E-commerce is a store, just online. Right?
Yeah.
And everybody's done it.
I'm in the grocery store and I'm shopping for fruit, right? Or I'm in the apple section, grabbing some fruit for my kids or something like that. Oh yeah, snack time. So I grab some fruit and all of a sudden the salesperson comes over and says like, hey, we have this great deal on men's razors. Why don't you come over here and check out these razors? Why are you distracting me? I'm in the market for fruit. And that's the difference between a campaign, right? And an automation. I'm in the market for fruit. I came for this. My data is showing me that I don't need the distraction of hearing about a totally separate campaign that may not have anything to do with me.
Yeah, you might get to the razors later, but yeah. Right now you're focused on the fruit. Why distract you from the fruit? I like that. I like that analogy.
There's no point. Right, it's not going to help me make more money. It's not in the market for it right now. So I think a lot of brands kind of tend to look at it like, and it's kind of the overarching, USP or unique differentiator we have is that they don't focus on the person behind the email. They kind of always want to talk about their stuff, and they don't focus on that person who is showing an indication about what they're most interested in. So you got to focus on the person, and that's kind of
it's all about the people behind the email addresses. A person behind the visitor. So let's, you know, we're wrapping up here, but you've had a lot of experience, years of experience working in email marketing and automation setups and execution. What have you seen over your experience, and where do you see the evolution of workflows and automation going in the next, you know, year to 5 years?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, with COVID, there was always this kind of all these automations are coming up now and all these new technologies are happening. And it's so hard to predict exactly where the automation world will be and how that'll play a role. I think the main thing I would probably recommend and definitely say as a key takeaway from this podcast would be two things. Number one, map out your customer journey. Everyone has a new device that's going to come out, right? From SMS to just basically email, to social messenger, to conversational commerce, to Instagram, to now, I don't even know what metaverse will bring into the realm here to connect with people. Who knows? But I think the key takeaway is that if you map out your customer journey now, from start to finish, from the time a person comes to your site till a person becomes a VIP, three-time, five-time buyer, map out the entire customer journey, that will be where you'll win in the next, you know, even this year, next, you know, certainly in the next 5 years. Mapping out the customer journey is key. The other area I think that automations are going to go into will be focused on gathering a lot more compliance, a lot more user consent. That is so important now with GDPR in Europe and then CCPA.
Apple,
you need to get that consent, and using automations to gather data is also extremely valuable, and getting them to have first party data where a customer will submit or a subscriber will submit information about themselves for free and opt in, that's going to be the most helpful to your business. So that is something you definitely want to pay attention to, especially if the U.S. government starts in making everything private, you know, so that's going to be so important. Set your table now. Don't just wait until that, you know, law goes into effect.
Yeah. Liberties be damned, right? But...
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said before, right? Fine line between creepy and relevant.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But that's actually, you mentioned it. It's actually, I just saw a stat that said 80% of users, around 80%, are totally fine sharing their data if they get a personalized experience.
Right.
I think that was either a Harvard Business Review or a McKinsey report where I read that. So it is so important. If they're going to share their data, you better treat it right.
That's a topic for another podcast.
Yeah. Oh. That's a great takeaway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give the data, treat it right.
That's a whole nother podcast. Well, Isaac, it's been fun. And we hope that everyone listening had some good takeaways here as well. And we hope we're able to help make your day work smarter, not harder. Thanks everybody for listening.
Definitely.
And we'll see you next time on the Ecom 80/20 podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Ecom 80/20 podcast. If you enjoyed this show, please make sure to subscribe and follow us on social at High Flyer Digital for daily tips, content, and videos. To put this week's strategy into action and move your brand forward, go to highflyerdigital.com/book and schedule a free 15-minute chat with Isaac and Yakov. Let's partner together to compete and win at e-commerce. Your brand is worth it. Until next week, this is Isaac and Yakov wishing you a successful and profitable week.